It's so important, that passage, and so many passages like this, like Isaiah 54, where it speaks about, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. There's an increase that God brings to your faith, to your family, to your healing, and it's very, very connected to thanksgiving. It says, out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, then the increase. That's why when Jesus multiplied and brought increase to the bread and loaves, before it happened, he looked up to heaven and he gave thanks. And when John described that miracle, he called it in John 6:31, the miracle of thanksgiving. So I really encourage you. We want to finish this year. It's so important. You know, all the feasts in Israel, they're all about thanksgiving. And so many people can't receive God's best because we take him for granted. It is so big in the kingdom of God, the principle of giving thanks. So we're just going to open the church. It's not going to be fancy, but for 21 days, there'll be somebody here every night just giving thanks to God for something. And so whatever it is that you want to thank God for and also believe God for increase in. See, maybe God healed a little bit of your disease. Sometimes we go and we say, well, only a little bit was healed, but not all. We're actually meant to say, God, thank you. Because when we give him thanks for the little, we sow the seed for the remaining. That's what thanksgiving does. It's so important. Anyway, that's not my sermon. Sounds like it. But just encouraging you to come and pray and give God. I tell you what, God will do so much in your life if you just in your own way. There's no right and wrong way to pray. Just to come in here in your own heart and say, God, just thank you for what you've done in my life this year. And by faith, I'm going to thank you for what you're going to do in my life next year. By faith. That's so important. Because the increase comes through thanksgiving. I have just a word for somebody today. This is, again, not the sermon, but I felt God wanted to say to somebody here today, do not neglect the gift that's in you, which was given to you by prophecy, the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. That Timothy had received a gift. Someone had his calling and his purpose in life had been released to him by the laying on of hands and a prophetic word. And Paul says, give yourself, meditate on it. Don't let yourself be robbed of what God's calling you to do. I don't know who that's for today, but the enemy sometimes tries to steal your purpose. Moses was told to build the tabernacle. The first thing that happened when he came down the mountain, there was something totally contradictory to that. There was a golden calf there and idolatry and just totally opposite. That's what the enemy tries to do. He tries to pull you out. Dislocate you from your purpose and get you to do something else. But someone, you know what you're called to do. God is saying to just stay faithful to that today. Okay, finally, I'll get to what I'm going to preach on. If you've got a Bible, open it to open the passage today to Proverbs chapter 18. I want to speak on this subject today. Father, I thank you that you are the God of the Word. Lord, you spoke and creation came into being. Lord, you still speak, and life is created. Father, we are made in your image. Help us to understand today the power of your word, the power of the tongue, Lord, in Jesus' name. I want to read from verse 21 of Proverbs 18. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Proverbs 13:3 says, he who guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. The final verse I want to read is, I preached similarly on this last week in the night, but I want to go in a different direction. James chapter 3. Indeed, verse 3. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us and will turn their whole body. Look also at ships. They are so large and are driven by fierce winds. They are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is as a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile, of creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no one can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God, the Father, with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. I wanted today to speak about the importance of our mouths and the importance of the tongue. Because what James is basically saying there is that as a tongue, as a ship, it's steered by a little rudder. Or as a little tiny thing called a bit is put in a horse's mouth, it determines where the horse goes. And like the rudder determines where the ship's final destiny is going to be, your tongue is that which determines where your life's going to end up. It is what comes out of our mouths which largely determines our destiny, particularly our spiritual destiny in God. And these passages saying it's very, very important that we learn to tame the tongue. It's very important that we learn to control that which comes out of our mouths if we're going to be able to move into the things and the places, the good destiny, the good plans, the Bible says, that God has for us. Because there are many times, it says in the scripture, out of the mouth comes blessing and curse. It shouldn't be so. With it, you bless God, you curse men. It's very, very important. The first passage I said was that I read, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. It's very important we realize what James is saying, and we have the desire to be self-controlled with our mouths, because our mouths and our tongue, what we speak, is very powerful. God, and we are made in the image of God, is a God who spoke the world into existence. It is by God where there was Genesis tells us there was darkness and there was chaos. And out of darkness and chaos, God did something magnificent. He created this world which is full of life and order. But the way he did it was that he spoke. And it says the Spirit was hovering and then the Word of God came, and darkness and chaos was displaced, and in its place came order and life. And wherever Jesus went, he met people whose lives were demon-possessed or sick or afflicted. Most of the time he healed them by speaking, and he said, my words are spirit and life. Just like in creation, as the word of God brought life and order out of chaos and darkness, when Jesus spoke to the demon, go, the person was delivered, and they were delivered from the power and the kingdom of darkness, and they were brought into a place of God's kingdom which is full of life and order. And it happened through his words, the words that he spoke. And God wants us to be a people who know the importance and the power of the word. When a spirit-filled person speaks the word of God, it's like Ezekiel when he saw a valley of dead bones, everything was dead and dry, fallen. And the way God got that valley of dead bones to not only be revived but to come in line as an army, as that he put Ezekiel there and he said, speak, prophesy, which is simply to declare the word over them. Then he said, breathe. So the combination of the word spoken and the spirit moving brought those dead bones back to life and created an army. But it was all through a spirit-filled man speaking the word of God. And our mouths and what comes out of our declaration, our confession, is so powerful. But we need to be people who actually have control about what comes out of our mouths. Because there are many people who have been called in the scripture, have been called to a great purpose, have been called to great promise in God, and their mouths, not the devil, has stopped them inheriting what God wants for them. And there's so many times in the book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus is a type for us. It's a type of God's plan of deliverance and salvation and bringing us through the wilderness into our destiny and our purpose. The promised land is no longer a physical destination. It's a spiritual destination where we inherit the promises of God. God wants us to be inheriting his promises. The things that he has, he wants us to see those things realized in our life. And the wilderness is a place where our soul needs to be dealt with. And what stopped the Hebrews being able to walk into what God, only a few of them were able to inherit what God had from. You know what stopped them mostly? They thought their enemies was all the Ites, the Gittites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Goodites, all those. They thought they were their enemies. That's not what stopped them. Most of them perished and couldn't walk into what God had for them because of their mouths. It was their mouths. By the Red Sea, they were dying because of what they spoke. And it says they couldn't inherit the promises because, first of all, the way they used their mouths was they grumbled and they complained. And they grumbled and complained. And actually, they grumbled and complained against those God had put ahead of them. And God says, when you grumble against those I've put ahead of you, you're grumbling against me. And you know God didn't like it. I want to just show you. God does not like when his people grumble. And I have to say this. In a leader, it's hard to say it because people think, oh, you're trying to just be saying this because you're a leader. But one of the things about being a leader, when you lead God's people, you're supposed to be out in front of them spiritually. So you're supposed to go up the mountain more than they do. And what God does, that's where you get your vision of where God wants to take the people. But when you actually lead God's people and you're called to be a leader, you become a special target of Satan. Because if he can take a leader out, he takes the whole congregation out. And one of the protections God puts around leaders, you see it in Genesis chapter 12. He says to Moses, to Abraham, who was a leader, he says, I'll be a curse to those who curse you. So when you start speaking with your mouth, curses against people God's put ahead of you, you stop yourselves moving into what God has for you. If you look at go to Numbers chapter 21, verse 4. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. So the Lord sent fiery serpents. This is the Lord. Sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent, send on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten when he looks at it shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and so it was. If a serpent had bitten anyone, then he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. It's a wonderful picture, and that's a picture of the gospel as well, because that serpent had to be beaten. It was brass, it had to be beaten, and as it lifted up, and they looked to it in faith, what was destroying them inside, what was killing them was dealt with, and God released new life to them. They were born again. It's a picture of Christ. Those who looked at, got sin in them, and they looked to Christ, who God's lifted up, they are born again. But the purpose was they were dying there because of what was coming out of them. They're grumbling and they're complaining, and God didn't like it. And God didn't like their grumbling. And there was two types of people. There were those that grumbled and they died. And I've learned that in life spiritually. There are some people, they're just going to die. You just can't help them. They're just going to grumble and grumble and grumble. It's just they're set on grumbling with their mouths. They want to do it. But there's others who grumbled and didn't die. The reason they didn't die is because of repentance. It doesn't happen much these days, but there was repentance there. They actually came and said, I'm sorry, I've been speaking against you. And God healed them instead. But you see it in so many times. There's also in Genesis chapter 9, there's a passage of two people, two types of people. This is when Noah got drunk. sometimes leaders are not perfect. And Noah got drunk. And by the way, thank you for the flower. Whoever gave me the flower, thank you for the flower. It's getting videoed today. Noah was a great man of God. He did great things for God, but he wasn't faultless. And I don't understand fully why he got drunk, but he got drunk. He began to be a farmer and he planted a vineyard. Maybe because he got off the ark, he didn't understand what he was drinking. But he drank the wine, was drunk, and became uncovered in his tent. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. And Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on their backs and their shoulders, and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. So Noah awoke from the wine, and he knew what his younger son had done to him. He knew it in the spirit. He said, "Cursed be Canaan, servants of servants. He shall be to his brethren." And he said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth and be dwell in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant." So that the Canaanites came out of Canaan, which have always been Israel's enemies, and they live under a curse. Anyone who is against Israel is under a curse, by the way. Anyone who speaks against Israel, you bring a curse on yourself. Bless what God has blessed. But they're under a curse. The reason they're cursed is because they looked at someone's failure and told. And the others decided to cover up. And you'll always see in your family, people around you, no matter how long you walk with people, you'll see failure. And you can be someone who wants to look and tell about others' failures, or by grace you want to cover them. I'm not speaking about covering really bad sin, but I'm speaking about covering people so they're not exposed. So one person was cursed, one person was blessed, but it was because the determination whether one was cursed and blessed was because of what came out of their mouth, what they said. So it's very, very important. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And it's very, very powerful. Just as our tongues can stop us inheriting what God wants for us, and they can bring curses. That's how the enemy works, is through the tongue as well, curses. It can also bring great blessing. If you go to Genesis chapter 27, this is how the some people say, well, there's no real power in your tongue today. That's the religious spirit. That, you know, these are things of old. I want to tell you, this is so wonderful. You know, we particularly as a father, you get the privilege of blessing your children. I believe it's such a privilege. God's a father, and He blesses His children, and we're able to bless our children. And it's so important that what comes out of our mouth, we speak the word of God and the word of faith over our children. So our children are precious. We don't say, you know, it's really bad to say to your child you're useless or you're never going to amount to anything, because your words are powerful. When a spirit-filled person is speaking, let me just say, when a spirit-filled person is speaking, particularly the word of God, your words are not only communicating, they are creative. When you're speaking what God is saying over your children, you're creating their destinies, you're creating their futures, you're creating a path for them. And it's very, very important that you speak it, you declare it over them in faith. I've seen it with my children. I've seen what they've become and what they're becoming. And they don't know it's because what I prophesied and declared over them when they're in the crib. So it's very, very important that we do that. And people who don't believe that, when you look at Isaac had two sons, Esau and Jacob. And Jacob, some of us know the story, stole the blessing. So he coveted, he was the spiritual man. He coveted the blessing of God, where Esau didn't care for it. So he coveted, and he had a character witness, so he deceived his brother, and he pretended he was his brother. And his father's eyes were dim and he couldn't see. And so there came a time where the father was going to bless one of the sons, and he was going to bless the older son and pass on the blessing of God, which had come down through Abraham. He was going to pass it on to this son called Esau, but Isaac came in and deceived him. And then when Isaac found out about this, his father Isaac said, "Who are you? This is when Esau came in after. And Esau came in after Isaac had already had the blessing. And he came in to get the blessing. And he says, I'm Esau. And Jacob trembled exceedingly and said, who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? He said, I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him. And indeed, he shall be blessed. So Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, who are you? Esau then heard the words of his father and cried exceedingly great bitter tears. And he said to his father, bless me also, O my father. But he said, your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing. So Isaac didn't think that words of blessing were just wishful, nice thinking or general words of the heart. He believed his words were creating the future for Isaac. That's why he trembled exceedingly. He says, I can't give it to another. I have blessed. My blessing's been given. It's specific and it's powerful, and I've released it through my words, and it still happens today. That's why Jesus said his words were spirit and their life. So what should come out of your mouth? What does God want you to speak? What are the words he wants you to speak? He wants you to speak words which edify. He wants you to speak words that build people up. He wants you to speak, and particularly he wants you to speak. Listen what I'm saying here. He wants you to speak. This is where the power is. The word of faith. Romans 10 says we speak the word of faith. It says in 1 Corinthians 4:13, we believe, therefore we spoke. You can be somebody who just speaks in agreement with your circumstances or what your eyes see or what your flesh feels or your life, and nothing's going to change. Nothing is ever going to change. A lot of Christians are like that. There are three types of Christian. There are three types of people in this world. There are those who are unregenerate, who are not born again yet of the Spirit. There are those who are born again of the Spirit and believe the Word of God and declare the Word of God. And in between, there is what we call, what Paul called, the carnal Christian, who has been born again but doesn't walk in the Spirit, doesn't walk by faith, and never changes and ends up in the wilderness forever. But I want to tell you, this is what God wants you to see. He wants you to see, he wants you to speak the word of faith. He wants you to speak in agreement with what he is saying, particularly when you have a word over your life and circumstances start to contradict you. Circumstances start to contradict your word. God may say to you, he's going to use you in a certain way. I tell you what, as soon as you get that word, all hell's going to break out against it. You may say, well, it's not going to happen now. Romans 4:17 said, this is Abraham, who's the father of faith. This is what it says about Abraham. It says God gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Notice he doesn't call those things which do exist as though they don't. They don't deny reality, but he calls those things which don't exist as though they did. And Abraham was told he'd be the father of many nations. The father of many nations, the father of many nations. You know he had trouble believing that because he had a barren wife? So how did God get Abraham to the place of victory? How did he bring him into the place where the word over him manifested? I tell you what he did. Just before it happened, his name used to be Abram. And he changed his name a year before his wife gave birth to Abraham, which means father of many nations. So Abraham then started to speak the word of God, speak what God had said over himself all the time. He spoke it and he spoke it and he spoke what God had said to him, despite the barrenness, despite the circumstances. He spoke it in faith and it happened. It's speaking the word of God from a spirit-filled person. It doesn't just communicate, it creates. Some of us can't where God wants to get us to because of our mouths. It's a really important word today. God said to me, he wants to bring you higher. He wants to take you through, but it's not Satan that's stopping you. It's your mouth. It's your mouth. And God wants us to speak what he said. If you go to Job, this is ancient literature, ancient wisdom. the book of Job. It's a beautiful book. And Job understood the power of the tongue, and so do those who are around him. Job 22:27 says this, "You'll make your prayer to him, and he will hear you, and you will pay your vows. You also will declare a thing, and it will be established for you." By whom? By God. "So light will shine on your ways. When they cast you down, you shall say, exaltation will come. Then he will save the humble person after the declaration. He will even deliver one who is not innocent. Yes, he will be delivered by the purity of your hands." When they cast you down, you're not going to say, "I'm down." You're going to say, "God's going to lift me back up. By the word of God, the humble shall be exalted." When things go wrong, I'm not going to accept them. And you see this so powerfully. There's a time where God sent Elisha to do something wonderful for this woman. And the woman was barren. And many deliverers in the Bible come from barren wombs. That's just a fact. But he sent this woman, he sent this prophet. And she was barren. And Elisha went to this barren woman and said, "What can I do for you?" And Gehazi's servant said, "She has no son." And so the man of God said, "Don't worry, this time next year you shall have a son." That's in 2 Kings 4, what I just read is in around verse 13. So she had a son. And after a while, this son had what's called an aneurysm, had an attack on his brain. And I'll read what happened. Here it is. It says, and the child grew, verse 18 of 2 Kings 4. "Now it happened one day he went out to his father, to his reapers, and he said to his father, 'My head, my head.' So he said to a servant, 'Carry him to his mother.' When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on his knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on his bed, the man of God, shut the door behind him and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, 'Please send me one of the young men, run to the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and come back.' So he said, 'Why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath.' And she said, 'It is well.' Then she saddled a donkey and said to a servant, 'Drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace of me unless I tell you.' She departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. So it was when the man of God saw her afar off, he said to his servant Gehazi, 'Look, the Shunammite woman, please run now to meet her and say to her, "Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child?" And she answered, "It is well." Now when she came to the man of God by the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, "Lead her on, for her soul is in great distress. The Lord has hidden it from me." The end of the passage, the child who has the aneurysm and looks like the child is about to die. This woman knows this child's destiny is not death because God has given her this child. It's a gift from God. She was barren. So she knows that God has given her this gift. And that child is a child of destiny. And when the attack came, you notice the husband came and said, see, carnal people will try to speak words of defeat. They'll try to get you to speak carnal words of defeat. It's so important who you run with, who you let around you. Her husband comes and says, "Why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath." And she won't even answer into that. She won't even answer that. She won't even say, "Because he's sick, because he's dying, because he's out of reach." She just speaks what God wants her to speak. She speaks words of life over the child and says, "It is well." It is, no matter what is going on in your life, it's really, really good when someone comes. It's not a denial of reality. If you want to live on the level of the emotional and be a carnal Christian, it's not being untrue. It's speaking ultimate reality. It's speaking in line with what God says about you. "I am the Lord who healeth thee. It is well. I will declare a thing and it shall be established." You may have symptoms you need to describe to people, but you don't speak in agreement when the devil is trying to steal your health, steal your joy, steal your destiny, steal your purpose. God is good. It's very important that you're able to say, no matter what is going on, no matter what is happening, God is greater. See, sometimes you'll go, God says, I'm able to make all things abound to you. This is in terms of materially, so that in all ways, in all things, if you serve me, you'll have more than enough. And sometimes you can go to your teller machine and it can look like you've got no money. It's not good to say, I'm going to be broke. We're never going to have anything. But it's really important in those times to say, my God is able to make all grace abound to me so that in all things, at all times, I have sufficient. I have sufficient. When you do that, you're declaring life over your finances. When you feel unwell, you can speak in agreement with the doctors, or you can say, by his wounds, I am healed. It's not to deny ultimate reality. It's not to deny what's going on, but you're speaking a greater, you're speaking the ultimate reality of God's word. What does it say in Romans 4 that I just read? How God works. He gives life to the dead. How? He calls those things which do not exist as though they do. So God wants us to be people who understand the power that he is a God of the word. He is a God who spoke and it was. He is a God who looked into darkness and chaos and where the Spirit was hovering, and he spoke. Out of that darkness and chaos came life and goodness and order. And God has said, when a Spirit-filled person starts to speak my word into situations that are dark, that are chaotic, and they don't just accept them, they just don't go along with them, but they speak what God says over them, what God says over the situation, where God says over the person, the same thing happens. The word that you speak not only communicates, but it creates. It creates. Because you and I are made in the image of God. It's his word, but it is creative. So God wants us to be a people who actually have control over our tongues, who don't complain and grumble. I want to tell you, I've had to go through this the hard way. I've said this many times in this church, but when I first married my wife, her nickname for me was Moni Marty. That's what it was. I complained and I grumbled, and whenever things was not right, I just spoke out of my soul and my feelings and go, and she just got tired of it. She just said, will you shut up? Will you shut up? I remember at Neutral Bay, she said, just will you shut up? You're always moaning. And God really spoke to me and said, this is what God said to me. This is what God said to me through my wife. And I went to a conference. And a man who was a prophet came to me and said to me, listen to your wife. That was a prophetic word. It's true. I went to Queensland. That's all I got. Listen to your wife. And you know what my wife was saying to me? My wife said, shut up. It sounds fake, but God was actually saying to me, shut up. If you want to move into what I have for you, the biggest lesson you've got to learn, some of us is what? We've got to learn to shut up. We have to learn to just shut up. It's so hard. And if you haven't got something edifying and good to say about somebody, don't say it. You know what gossip is? God hates gossip. Gossip is this. If I'm with John and we're going to say something about Todd and Todd's not here. If we're going to say something which Todd would not like to hear if Todd was there, that's gossip. And sometimes we spiritualize it. We even pray gossip sometimes. My goodness. That's what gossip is. And it's God hates it. God, because it doesn't edify. It doesn't build up. But speak words of blessing. Speak words of edification. Speak what God says over yourself, over your children, over your life. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Let me just qualify this. There's a teaching called shamanism. I'm not talking about this today. Shamanism says that your tongue is so powerful, you can get what you want just by out of saying things. So you can say, I want that house over there, and I'm going to have it. I'm going to confess it till I get it. It's kind of power of positive thinking. That's not the word of God, because that house belongs to somebody else. What I'm speaking about is speaking the word of God. What God says about things. When a spirit-filled person speaks in agreement with the word, that's where the power is. I'm going to pray today, but I also believe I'm going to pray. I'm going to break the power. God was speaking to me. Some people see one of the most destructive sects are the Freemasons, and the way the Freemasons curse people is through the word. And God says today to me, he says that every curse has been broken at the cross, and that Jesus became a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham would be upon us. And so, Father, I just lift up every person here who's under the blood of Jesus, Lord, today. Father, and every person who may have had a curse spoken against them over their life, over their family, over the work of their hands, over their finances. Father, I thank you that you took our place, Jesus, on the cross. You said, Jesus, you took our place, Lord. And Lord, you just didn't die for us, Lord. You died in our place. You became sin for us. You became sin for us. It was as though you died for me, Lord. But you became my sin. And there was a purpose for that. That every curse would stop at you, Lord Jesus. And Father, I decree that every curse today be finished. And I speak blessing over every person in this house. The very blessing of Abraham, that every curse today falls to the ground, becomes powerless, it becomes nothing. But God's people, Lord, will be all the goodness, all the fullness, all the provision, all the healing, all the blessing, all the joy, all the peace that you died to give us, Lord. That we be a joyful, Lord, prosperous, blessed people, that we may bless others, Lord. And every curse that stops today in Jesus' name. And Father, I ask today, Lord, the key to all this, Lord, the key, God says, the key to it all, key to keeping your mouth pure. The Bible says it's because of what's in your heart. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And what God says, the solution to your mouth is a heart which is full of thanksgiving. That daily we be aware. God wants to reveal daily of how good you've got it. You live in Australia. You're so blessed. You're the top 2% of the whole world. This is the most desirable nation in all the whole world. You're so blessed. Get up every morning. Start thanking God for what you've got. Thanking God you've got a job. Thanking God you've got children. Thanking God for everything God's put in your hands. Just thank him. You are so blessed. So blessed. Today is National Thanksgiving Day. I just realized it. But today God wants to actually put a spirit of thanksgiving, because that will stop the grumbling. A spirit of praise and thanksgiving. I know it stops the grumbling.